I'm sensing that everyone here today, we seem to be on the same wavelength, because for some reason when I was writing this sermon, well, I know the reason, yesterday I was crying a lot, and so this is a place for that. That's okay. I have to admit that I was excited when I heard that the theme of the month in October was healing, because I think it provides an opportunity to talk about what is painful without losing sight of hope. And talking about healing helps us explore the shadows in our mind and in our hearts that we'd be reluctant to explore, but we never have to let go of that guiding, invisible thread of love that you can't see with your eyes, but you feel with your heart. When I was 20 years old, I studied abroad in Uganda and Rwanda. And I almost chose a program where I could go to northern India and spend the summer making pottery. And there are many times I think I should have done that, even though I wouldn't take back what I've learned. I was haunted by a film that I had seen when I was a junior in high school. We went with my international relations club, and we watched Hotel Rwanda, which depicts the days between April and July in 1994, when hundreds of thousands of human beings took the most rudimentary of weapons and killed hundreds of thousands of human beings. And I had this odd, tangled vision of being able to step off the plane and say, "I'm so sorry," to everyone that I met, and hugging them and taking some of their pain with me. And that wasn't really how it went. I mostly stepped into an experience of feeling overwhelmingly helpless, overwhelmingly guilty for being so comfortable and so lucky. And we each stayed with a host family who had lost loved ones in the genocide. And it was unnerving to eat and sleep in the same house as someone who had experienced such a barbaric, cold tragedy. There were many people with scars, and we visited memorial sites. And these were the most graphic memorial sites I ever could have imagined. In some places, there was still human bone in the dirt. And we went to a museum dedicated to showing photographs of the aftermath. And then we'd sit in a classroom and hear lectures that applied psychological and sociological and political theories to genocide and what we were studying. And the trip ended in Tanzania at the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda, where you can actually sit, you can get headphones to listen in your own language, and you listen to a translator as genocidaires, people accused of either planning or carrying out the genocide, are tried in front of United Nations judges. And I find, thinking back on it, there is still so much I am not ready to share in a sermon because I would lose it. But when I returned home, I went completely numb. I stayed in my PJs all day. I did nothing but feel so spiritually dead. I wondered how on earth I was going to make it through my senior year of college. But my parents made me get up every day. My dad told me stories of how much it matters to do small, kind, loving things every day of your life. My mom reassured me that we can make a difference and we can tip the scales toward good and toward peace. I began to wonder what comfort Unitarian Universalism had to offer me at that point. And I read about our Universalist ancestors for the first time in depth at that time. I mostly knew about the Unitarian side of our faith before that. And I think these stories came back to me because we spent all weekend celebrating Universalism. And the more I read, I got to know this crazy group of renegade optimists. The Universalists preached that no matter our actions, no matter what we believe, there is a loving God that wraps us in divine love and will not let us go in life or in death. I read about how they believed that we, since we were the children of God, we had the same divine love DNA in our own souls. And if church, if we could spend our time at church just remembering our true nature, there would be no more corruption, no more poverty, no more violence. And believe me, that was not an easy faith for these people to have. It sounds cheerful and straightforward, but just one example of the first Universalist in America, a man named John Murray, lost his wife, son, three sisters, and a brother, all in quick succession from illness. And who goes through something like that and still believes that God is all loving and infinitely kind? And I read about Universalists who served in the Civil War as chaplains and as soldiers. And who goes through something like that and still believes that divine love is natural in every human soul? Universalists witnessed all that was cruel and tragic in life and still held on to this faith that love was the meaning of existence and the true nature of humanity. When I came home from Rwanda reading about these people and what they believed, feeling how their faith had been passed down to me, was like the most cool, calming, minty-smelling, like an icy hot balm for my spirit. When I read their thoughts, it was like slurping a hot mug of chicken noodle soup after a long head cold. It was like watching grass grow through concrete. It was like seeing the sunrise in the dead of winter. And that was because my heart knew and still knows that the faith our forebears passed down to us, that unbreakable optimism, was real and true. And I slowly felt it bring me back to life. As modern Unitarian Universalists, we no longer collectively worship God. We no longer uniformly believe in God. Some do, some don't. But if you listen to the lyrics of our hymns, if you read our seven principles, then you know that to be Unitarian Universalist means that you are in covenant with the loftiest of ideals. Hundreds of years later, to be Unitarian Universalist still means that we have a promise to keep with hope. Our Unitarian Universalist ancestors have taught us that when there is another war, another injustice, we do not allow our faith and our hope to be broken. We acknowledge the suffering inside ourselves and in the world, but we don't let that suffering blind us to the abundance of peace and justice and beauty and love that makes up the majority of our everyday lives if we are willing to open our eyes and see it. We don't give up on what our hearts believe is possible despite what our reason tells us. Unitarian Universalism lives in the dual realities of love and hate. It lives between the dual realities of compassion and cruelty that are ever present in our world. So what does it mean to live constantly in this place of tension, this in-between place between the worst and the best in ourselves and in the world? What does it look like on the ground? I think that having a faith like ours, being Unitarian Universalist, means being in a constant state of healing. Because the gap between how the world is and how it should be is vast. And the gap between our daily actions and our truest nature, depending on the day, can be pretty wide too. To be a people who believe that the world can become just a little better with our help, to have this kind of faith means that we will always be healing from some kind of setback or disappointment. And that sounds really tiring. And some days it is. I find I'll be listening to the news or hearing about some discord in the Utica community, violence around the world. And I think of you all and I wonder, how's so-and-so doing? How are they coping? I wonder, what will he or she be feeling when they walk out of church on Sunday? And will it be enough to keep their hope, their relentless optimism strong? I know that each of you is always healing from something small or big, and I am too. And I do worry about you all getting weary of holding on to a faith that tells us people are inherently good and progress can and does happen. And sometimes my soul is weary too. But then I remember that to say we are suspended in a perpetual state of healing is to say that we are also suspended in a constant state of hope. Because healing implies progress toward the good. If we are healing, there is cause for hope. And healing implies that there has been pain. So to live in a constant state of healing is to be honest about our pain and the world's pain while embracing hope. To live in a constant state of healing is to be honest about our pain and the world's pain and still embrace hope. Our Unitarian Universalist forebears have carried the most radically optimistic vision for our world and its people forward for hundreds of years. And we are called to keep carrying this vision forward together. We are called to hold tightly to that invisible guiding love when we feel most lost. We are called to keep our promise with hope. Blessed be. Amen.